The best Christmas gift ever, a sneak peek. Well, I wonder how curious you are. You know, as gifts start to appear, how curious are you what might be in those gifts? Do you remember any special gifts, any gifts as you were growing up, childhood? I remember the Christmas my brother and I got toboggans. And we came down and saw these matching toboggans Christmas morning, which we thought was a grand thing because we could, with two toboggans, we could stand and ride both of them and pretend we were skiing. Or we could each get on one and try to do the slalom. Yeah. Now, you may have a memory of a particular gift. You may have particular extremes you've gone to sneak a peek at a Christmas gift. Those I work with in counseling often come feeling and wishing that there was a gift for them, but having lost hope to believe that they would receive one. Those who would want to feel wanted, they would question, who would choose me? They're alone, abandoned. They may even feel discarded. And so, who would see value in you? Who would see past my life's mistakes? See, we compare the worst in us to the best in others. Or we carry shame and guilt and feel like damaged goods that are beyond repair and beyond being valued. Who would accept me? Who could forgive me? I can't even forgive myself. And those who wonder what they would have to live for, see, because their life maybe feels aimless, they're depressed, broken. So many live with fear that things are only going to get worse. There's a lack of hope and a lack of vision. Those who believe what they've been told, that they'll never be good enough, that they'll never amount to anything. They have been beaten down to have any sense of worth. Well, there's times in which I suppose all of us share some of those thoughts. Or we stay very busy to avoid letting our minds rest on those thoughts. There are times when we all would benefit from a sneak peek at what the Lord has prepared for you. I would like to have you and my clients get a sneak peek at the best Christmas gift ever. The Apostle Paul offers us just such a sneak peek in Ephesians chapter 1. Let's read that together. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from our God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Every spiritual blessing. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who first put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, When you believed and were marked with him with a seal, the promise, Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Well, Paul is pretty convinced that God has a plan for his life and for yours. I wonder if you're that convinced of just what plan God has for you. He said of the Ephesians that they were holy people. They had been set apart for God's purpose. That's what it is to be holy, to be set apart or sanctified. And he says, but this is also for the faithful in Christ. We're going to think about that idea of being in Christ. The faithful in Christ are those who just keep hanging on to Jesus. He is their anchor point, their strength. And he says they will be blessed with every spiritual blessing. We have it all. What more could we want? More than our Christmas sock is full. We have every spiritual blessing. And we're not an afterthought. You've probably had that experience when you realized you forgot to get something for someone and you rushed out on Christmas Eve and tried to think what would be the last door open. If you haven't had that experience, and do, I can advise you. I'll speak to you later. But with God, it was no afterthought. With God, it was before the creation of the earth. He wanted you so much to be with him as his child that he went and put in place and put in motion the plan to make that possible, and at no small cost. Before the creation of the earth, he was planning how to have eternity with you. You see, in love, he picked you for adoption. Now, this image and the word about adoption comes in many places in the scripture, but we tend to kind of misunderstand it. Because when we think adoption, we think infants, or at least we think children. But in the Greek and Roman world to which Paul is writing, adoption was almost entirely of adults. And a couple that might not have an heir would look for a promising person that they could have carry their name on. So they would adopt them because they were accomplished, because they would do right by their name. God gives us his name knowing all of our history, knowing who we are, and because he's so good, he takes pleasure, it says, he delights in giving us his name and adopting us to be his heirs. You've probably, a few of you, been down to Don and Kathy's shop, Country Cupboard. I don't know if they still have a room labeled this way, but they did at one time, where there was a sign that said that in that room there were things that were slightly damaged at great prices. Well, you know, I thought about that, and here is God's choice to know that we were broken. We were shattered into 1,000 pieces. He chose to buy us at full price, the price of his son, and put great value on us, because our God, he's a redeemer. He makes things new. He takes what is broken and turns it into what is beautiful. He is one who forgives and restores and refreshes. There's no end to how generous his blessing is in his love. You see, it was never about you or I being good enough for God. No. We got the picture all wrong. You see, the amazing part of the picture is it's how good our God is, that he can take us just as we are and make us new. In fact, he begins a work in us to restore us to all that we can be, that we could be like Jesus. And he said that he who began a good work in you will see that job to completion or perfection. that he is in that restoration even now. So he says that he offers to lead and guide us, offering us wisdom and understanding, if we'll take it, if we'll ask for it. We're told that if we lack wisdom, I wonder if any of us lack wisdom. You see, there isn't a prayer I've prayed more often than this one, I don't think, especially as I was growing up. You see, I knew I needed a lot more wisdom, and I asked God for it. You see, he says that if we'll ask him, he'll give us wisdom. He offers us a place in his kingdom work so that we would have purpose and reason, that we could share the love he gave us with others. He is the source. We are just the means of delivery of his love, so that the world will see the light of his love through us. We would be a reflection of him. The day is coming, it says, when there will be peace on earth, and all things will come together in his plan, because he will be Lord of all. You see, at Christmas, we celebrate the Advent, but it also reminds us, you see, the Advent is the coming, and he's coming again. And when he comes again, it's to restore things, all things, under his control. He has a plan for you if you will accept the best gift ever. When you trust Jesus to be Lord of your life, you will experience his love, his grace, and your life will bring him glory. I remember praying with my son when he was quite young and at his bedside at night, and he got on a bit of a roll. He said, God, we pray for a good day tomorrow and a good day for the day after that and a good day for the day after that. And the prayer went on in a similar vein. And I asked him after his prayer, I said, what do you think would give God a good day? I wonder if we could pray that we could put a smile on God's face. What could we do, and how could we live in a way that would brighten up God's day? And you see, his gift gives you the power to do that. See, when we've heard the good news and we've chosen to accept it, you see, because it is a gift, and unless you accept it, you know, if you're not willing to kind of open it and see what's in here, you see, God never forces himself upon us, but he offers us the gift to have what he has for us, so that we would never walk alone again. We would never be unwanted. We would be forgiven. We would be accepted. We would be treasured. To live life full in God's grace and in his peace. Because you're no longer lost following your own directions. In fact, life is under new management. I stop trying to be the boss of my life, and I start following the Lord who will show me the way. So we could be free to follow Jesus because he loves us so much. Oh yeah, back to the gift. Oh, I think I didn't tell you that this was for me. Yeah. You see, when I got married 40 years ago to Brenda and I made promises to each other. We could not have known everything that was going to come. But by God's grace and the help of the Spirit, we've been blessed this past 40 years. And for however many years are still to come. On the wedding day, you see, that was what was in here. I found it down there. On that wedding day, we made vows that were to be remembered by this ring. She made promises. And when God makes promises to you that he will be your Lord and Savior, he offers us his Holy Spirit to live within us. And it says it is a seal to us. A seal. Now, again, back in the day, there would be a signet ring that had a way to stamp into a wax seal the image of authority, the promise that a contract was going to be kept. And the Lord promised to be our Lord and Savior and offers us the seal of the Spirit as a guarantee that he will be with us forever. And he will continue the good work he began. Christ in us, our hope of glory. The best gift ever. And as good as it is, you've only got a sneak peek at what's to come. A sneak peek at what he's promised, not just for now, but forever. So, I don't know how exciting your Christmas gifts will be, or unexciting. But you might remember that Christmas is really a time to remember the best gift ever, and to truly live life for all that the Lord intended it to be. If you've never asked him into your heart, if you've never received the gift he has for you, this would be a time you could do that. And if you do that, if you decide you want to ask him to be the one that leads your life, if you want to accept his gift, then tell someone else, somebody near you, somebody else around here, somebody out there. You see, that's good news worth sharing. And if you've asked him, but it was years ago, and since you've decided to go your own way, then you need to know that he's there to welcome you back. And he's ready to let you take a sneak peek afresh at that gift. Let him know you're ready to come back. Welcome him. Welcome him to take charge in directing your life. Don't delay. You could be under new management before Christmas. Merry Christmas. Don't forget to open the very best gift yet.